Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. Back again, a very special guest, Christine Quinn. Since 2015, Christine has served as president and CEO of a nonprofit organization known as WIN. Great name. WIN stands for Women in Need. Under her leadership, WIN has nearly doubled its shelter capacity and tripled its supportive housing range of services to meet the growing needs of New York City's homeless population. Chris played a key role in securing $50 million for the Housing Access Voucher Program pilot in the state budget, which expanded vouchers for recipients and increased mental health resources in shelters. Chris is a lifelong advocate for women, children, and the LGBTQ plus community. Before her role at WIN, Chris made history as the first woman and first openly gay speaker of New York City Council. During her tenure at the council, she championed affordable housing, healthcare, and civil rights, and led major initiatives to combat hate crime and sexual assault. Christine, welcome back to Reaching Out once again. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, thank you. It's always a pleasure on my end and a lot of fun, so.
Good, good, good. So you run WIN, the largest provider of shelter and supportive services for homeless families with children in the nation. Your stance is that city FHEPs, which stands for City Fighting Homelessness Prevention Supplement, is the best tool we have to combat family homelessness in New York City. Your team even recently released widely report study that says city FHEPs could save New York City $635 million. Can you explain why? And
sure.
People should be listening because that is a major part of the budget and we need to save money.
So the FHEPs, for HEPS program, is a housing voucher. So if you are presently, if you're in shelter and you make a certain amount of money, et cetera, a low amount of money, you can qualify for a voucher. And what the voucher does is you pay 30% of your income towards your rent. The voucher pays the rest up to $2,500 a month for a family of four. It's the best way to move people out of shelter because it gives them support. And we see that people who leave shelter with these vouchers have a very low rate of returning to shelter. That's why the city council during the Adams administration passed legislation to vouchers available to people who make a little bit more money. That literally we have moms who make $10 too much and they can't get a voucher. And you, I wanted to tell you, there's no units in NYCHA for people to move into, although there may be units, there's none that are being rented. And we need to help people who need that support. Now, this legislation, Mayor Adams vetoed. The city council overrode the veto. Now, you would think, based on what we learned in school, then the laws would go into effect. No, you have to sue in that case. And we and the Legal Aid Society and the city council have sued. We've won at the first two levels of the court. And even though Mayor Mondami promised as a candidate and a mayor-elect, he would expand the program and drop the lawsuit, what we've seen now, Greg, is he's appealing it to the state's highest court to try to prevent the vouchers from going to people who make a little more money and to prevent the vouchers going to people in the community who are facing eviction so we can prevent them from ending up in shelter. And you know, right now, there are more children in shelter than there are seats in Yankee Stadium. I mean, that is just a sin and something that's unacceptable in the city right now. We're still at an all-time high of homelessness in New York City.
So what you're telling me is Mayor Mondani pledged that he would support the program during the election, got into office and reversed his decision on supporting the poor and these vouchers, and people in need really needed it. And there are probably many people who voted for him for this reason, and they were deceived.
Right. Yeah. And he is, you know, I was on his transition team. And at the transition team meeting, most of the conversation was kind of like administrative, when you're going to meet, who's on your committee. The only policy announcement he made was that he was going to drop the lawsuit on day one. Now we are 8 days into him appealing to the highest court. They made an offer to us, to the folks who were suing. We rejected the offer. It wasn't good enough, but we stayed at the table. They say we can't afford it, even though in the long run it saves money. We said, let's talk about a reasonable scaling back or maybe phasing it in over 5-6 years. They walked away from the table and walked into court.
Well, let me ask you. We make the statement that it saves $635 million. Are you prepared to give us the math on how that's possible? Thank you.
So if you are a homeless family and you spend a night in a permanent apartment with your children with a voucher, it costs taxpayers $75 a night. If you stay at a wind shelter, it costs taxpayer close to $300 a night. And if you stay in a welfare hotel, which we still use, and there's very little services, it's going to cost close to $400 a night. You add that up, you end up spending more on shelter. Now, listeners may say, well, why do we even have to do shelter? I think it's the right thing to do. But beyond that, it's the law in New York. New York is one of the few places where the law requires that the homeless be housed. So let's do it in a cheaper, better way. You know, who wants children to be in shelter for over a year? And folks who make just a little bit more money. And don't we say we want people to be working, right? You know, they're boxed out from this benefit.
So $400 a night for hotels.
$300
for your shelters. And $75 a day for the vouchers.
Right. And then if you add into it, people who get evicted now in New York City get free legal representation like you do in criminal court. So folks who are getting evicted are going to get that. You add that in, that's another cost. You add the court's cost in, that's another cost. And it just keeps spiraling up and up. That's before you even add in the extra educational costs because of the learning loss by being bounced around.
And once again, let me say, we could also take the apartments in NYCHA that are vacant, rehab them with that extra money, house families in those facilities cheaper, children will have permanent homes, family will have homes, NYCHA will get the income, so then NYCHA becomes self-sufficient.
Right.
We're paying less for homeless services, and we're winning all the way around. Now,
Absolutely. The
only people that will be losing would be the ones who own the hotels that are getting $400 a day for those CD properties.
And I'm very comfortable with them being the losers in this. And you know, they are. If you ask somebody who's staying at Wynn, most of them, their real dream would be to be in NYCHA. And that there are apartments that are basically being warehoused is just such an unacceptable situation, because it's not just bad for the people who don't get to move in, it's bad for the NYCHA community, because to have fewer people there, you have fewer eyes on the street, you don't have as deep a community, and people see those empty units and it must make you feel forgotten or disregarded. And that's a terrible thing to feel in your own city.
And NYCHA could use the money.
Without a doubt.
I mean, administration after administration, we still hear the same thing. I've been hearing NYCHA warehousing apartments for the last 20 years. It's probably gotten worse. So,
and you know what? Also, rehabbing them is good work. It's good work for people. Maybe we'd have to hire some more workers. That would be a good thing.
You would hire workers, hire companies to come in and do that, and you would create employment, create a tax
Absolutely.
base, you would save on revenue, and maybe you could reduce New York City's budget deficit
Right.
by just creating work. You're paying less for services, which means you have more money for other things.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm glad I asked you the question because we said 635 million, and the average listener would say, well, how do you come to that conclusion? Well, if you're
Yeah.
paying $400 to the hotels, you're paying $300 to you, and you give them $75 vouchers, $400 to $75,
Right.
you're saving the money. So, yes, I understand it now. As CEO of Wynn, you put an out a report last year and called Project Hope to counter the Trump administration's Project 25. Can you tell us what that report entailed?
Sure. So when President Trump was running for election, he said he had nothing to do with this thing called Project 2025, which was a blueprint basically for when he got in office, created by very, very conservative think tanks. And it included attacks on the poor, attacks on immigrants, exactly what we have seen go on. And we put out Project Hope to basically say to the city and the state, you don't have to take this. If we don't prevent what he's doing, there are things you can do. And the good news is the city and state have done some of them. So with the attacks on the poor and cutting taxes for the rich and not for the poor, Governor Hochul has put out tax credits for working moms, for the working poor. She's put out baby bucks to help low-income people who have recently had children. So some of those ideas we're actually seeing put into place. One big question, and the state budget actually is due today. It's not going to be done. We don't know when it'll be done, is what happens if the federal government cuts back on food stamps, on SNAP money? The city and state are going to need to step forward, deficits or not, and make sure New Yorkers have what they need to eat and feed their families. We're starting to see parts of Project Hope really, be implemented, which is a good thing because we know, even though we are seeing Trump being beat back in Minnesota and other places, they're still gonna continue attacking poor and working people. We know that. And now that they're spending so much money on this unnecessary war in Iran, they'll say there's even less resources.
There are re less resources. There are less resources, and we're spending more money because the farmers can't get the fertilizer to grow their products, and we're going to have food shortage. We're going to have a
Yeah.
lot of shortage. I mean, this is another crisis that I don't think the person people understand. If you take a screw out of the wall falls down. It's it
Very
might
good
be
analogy.
an
Very good
insignificant thing, but the
analogy.
screws put the whole things together, and that's what we've done. We've taken screws out of the walls, and it's just coming apart. I just never heard so much of the Strait of Hormuz. I never heard of Hormuz
I am, my
before.
God. Thank you. I was like, how do I not know that this is the most thing in the important thing in the world? I know.
Sure. And it was so insignificant to us because things worked, and now that
Exactly.
things aren't
Exactly.
working, we understand how important the country of Iran is and what they control. They knew what they control, and they remained silent all these years. I could tell you President Obama understood what they control because he made a deal with them
Yep.
that this president, when he was number 45, tore up. When he
Yep.
came back as 47, he destroyed.
Yep.
But people who understand politics, when they go into these positions, they understand that there's work to be done, and they listen to the experts. They don't
Yep.
come in with this know-it-all attitude.
That's
And
key, listening to the experts, people who know. And if you're an elected official or a high-level appointed official, no one expects you to know everything. But we do expect you to admit when you don't know and to ask for help and guidance. And when I was speaker, one of the things I always believed is when we had legislation, you had to meet with those who were for it, but you had to meet with those who were against it too, because they had a useful perspective. And all we see with this president is just forging ahead and the collateral damage be damned. But it's so funny you should say that about the Port of Vermouth, because who will even talk
Who
about it?
would never think it was that important? But now we understand. And for those who think that they're going to send the military in, the world fighting military, it's going to be worse than Vietnam. You have
It
no
really could be.
idea on what's waiting for you when you parachute over there, when you go in there, what's in the hills, what's in the mountains, what do they have set up? I was watching a movie, The Magnificent Seven Rides Again. And there were seven, of course, seven men. They were against 75 bandits from Mexico. And in the last movie, they had all kinds of traps, dynamite, everything set up. And when they come, they start whittling them down. I said, you know what? That's exactly what could be waiting in Iran. And
And
I,
people talk about,
yeah.
we'll just put some troops on the ground. Well, first of all, if you're going to do troops on the ground, you can't do a few, right? It doesn't work that way. And once you put troops on the ground in Iran, people are going to, more people, a lot more people will die.
It boggles the mind how I would say uninterested this president is in understanding what's going on in the world, what's going on,
And
just
look
what's
at
going
gas
on.
now. Gas is over $4. It may go over $5. And
It
how, if you're
may
a
get to
working,
10.
right? If you're a working person, how are you going to get to work?
He's just he's I didn't think he could match the pandemic, but he's done it
He's
again.
done it. You're right.
He's
You're right, Greg. You're very much
he's
right.
exceeded my disappointment.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Geez. We're talking to Christine Quinn. You're listening to Reaching Out. And if you are a fan of this president, I don't know why. If you are just listening and looking at your pocketbook and wallet, it's going to get worse. So I say that not to joke. I say that for you to understand elections have consequences. They do. And I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you to look at who you vote for. You are the vice chair of the New York State Democratic Party. What's going on to take, what's going to take, what is it going to take for the Democrats to win up and down the ballot in midterms? And we've seen some elections that Democrats have winning that they haven't won in 70 years.
Crazy, right? We know the mayor of Miami hasn't been a Democrat in decades and decades. Just a week or so ago, we won a special election for a state house in Florida that included Mar-a-Lago in the district. You can't, beat that. And I don't think it's overstating to say that the road to the House majority goes through New York. We have two congressional seats on Long Island that need to be defended. We have a seat in the Hudson Valley, which we could win back, and an open seat upstate, which we could potentially take. So we need to make sure come November we've had real ground game, real field resources, the right messaging to defend and to take those seats. And I think if we do that and the rest of the country follows suit, we really will see Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. And I'm going next week down to New Orleans for a Democratic National Committee meeting where hopefully we'll be talking about this, but we're very prepared on the state level to really fight for those four seats, and obviously to get a Kathy Hochul reelected, to get Adrian Adams elected lieutenant governor, the best attorney general in the country, Tish James, reelected. Boy, that woman's been put through hell by this president, and to get Tom DiNapoli reelected. And you look at Bruce Blakeman, the Nassau County executive who is running against Kathy. Not only is he a horrendous manager who's just had terrible results for Nassau, he has said over and over again that he 100% believes in everything the president and the MAGA movement said. He said that the two American citizens killed in Minneapolis were domestic terrorists. When we know one, was a mom of three, and one was a nurse in a veterans hospital. They were far, far from domestic terrorists. So this guy is Donald Trump, and we need to make sure he doesn't get into the governor's mansion in Albany.
One thing I do learn is I never want to say something before I understand all the facts. And it's always, I remember there was a bombing in Oklahoma City. And the president at the time was Bill Clinton. And he said that there was been a bombing in Oklahoma. I want everybody to be careful and wait till the facts come out. And at that moment, I knew it wasn't a terrorist from abroad. It
It
was
was
somebody
domestic.
here. And when it came out, it was Timothy McVeigh. He was alerting the nation, do not jump to conclusions. Two American citizens that were executed by ICE, domestic terrorists, was irresponsible. And it was what was more irresponsible was not coming out saying I jumped to conclusions. I should apologize. And I apologize to those families and that those two individuals. As the first female speaker, we have a few minutes of the city council. What's your perspective on Julie Mendez's speakership so far? Any advice for her?
Well, I'm very excited that Julie won, and it's a great thing if you think about it. We have a Jewish speaker and a Muslim mayor. Like, that's New York. You know what I mean? Only in New York. And I think Julie, I've known her a long time, and she's had many different roles in city government where she served the city incredibly successfully. She's super hardworking. She really listens to people and comes up with, when she was the film commissioner, she talked to me about how do we get jobs for homeless women in the industry. She's always thinking kind of like outside of the box.
Oh,
And
sure.
what's really exciting is you hear from members how excited they are to work with her. And she's taking in whatever you think about the mayor's call that he might have to raise property taxes. I think it's a terrible idea. But Julie and the finance committee chair, they responded like that. You know what I mean? She's not afraid to take a position. She's not afraid to work hard. I think she's going to be great.
I agree with you. I met Julie before she was an elected official.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she was the chair of, Community Board number one, I believe.
Right, downtown, yeah.
And she was talking about the lack of hospitals in her district because I think at the time Beekman had closed, St. Vincent's had closed, the nearest
Right.
hospital was
Probably Bellevue.
Staten Island and going up to Bellevue. So I've had the great fortune of knowing her before she was elected official. She is one of the most thoughtful people when it comes to government on all levels. And I knew then I was looking at somebody who was a future leader of New York City. So it doesn't surprise me, and I'm glad we got it right to this point. She is the right person for the moment.
I agree.
We're going to need Julie in the conversation because she understands how to bring people together, and she also understands what the problem is and how to work at it.
Absolutely.
And I don't think we need to raise property taxes. I don't think we need to raise taxes. I think what we need to do is spend our money more wisely, and starting with what you suggested on the
Exactly.
program.
And in that voucher fight, the city council has been our best ally, rock solid, rock solid.
Well, they get the math. If you're spending less, you give the people something, you have more in your budget, and then your crisis goes down. And we can find other ways to make the crisis go down because I'm certainly paying for services that we don't need.
Absolutely.
So all the time when you come on, I always like to say, anybody who wants to make a donation to win,
Thank you.
the website is
It's WinNYC with two N's, WINNYC.org. And
and you can
also, we
go on
love
there.
volunteers, but everything helps. $5, $100, $100,000, it all helps.
You've been listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd. I'm President of Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest was Christine Quinn. She is the chairwoman of WIN. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.